most superheroes are male, and we don't often see, apart from like Wonder Woman, we don't often see, these kind of protagonist superheroes as female. And I also wanted to show that, you don't have to be this kind of big, strong, bulky character to be very, very strong. One of Vivi's superpowers is the fact that she can spark compassion in other people and, reflect the truth back on them. And how people respond to that is going to be different with different people. But ultimately, what they then do with that information is down to them. I could see very quickly how powerful children are, especially when they're allowed to have their opinion and their voice.
Hi there, I've got some great guests coming up in the pipeline, so do please subscribe so you don't miss out. Now back to the show. Hi there, and welcome to Plant CEO. In today's episode, I'd like to welcome Tina Newman, the author of Vivi the Super Vegan. Hey Tina, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm really well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Where are you joining us from today?
All the way over in Suffolk from, well, I live kind of in the middle of a field in a really rural farming village. So you can imagine how loved I am here doing what I'm doing.
You don't have your own farm, do you?
No, I wish I had my own sanctuary, but one day.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, thanks for coming on the show. It'd be great to get a bit more about your background and what initially inspired you to create the character Vivi the Super Vegan.
Yeah, well, basically, I was vegetarian for 21 years, and I've always been a massive, massive animal lover myself. And then when we went vegan, that was about 6 years ago, 6.5 years ago now. I've got two daughters, and they were 1 and 3 at the time. And I straight away looked for books, and I couldn't find the kind of stories I was looking for. There were some great books, very kind of educational, and I wanted to find some stories where, they could see themselves represented, but also have like fun and children love adventures and magic and mischief. And I couldn't find anything, so I decided to create my own.
Nice. And if you think back, I guess 6 years ago, what actually made you go vegan in the first place?
So for me, it was a really upsetting kind of light bulb moment because I obviously went vegetarian for ethics. I was 11, and I thought for, this big period of my life that I hadn't been contributing to animal cruelty. And then I discovered what happens in the dairy industry. And I was currently breastfeeding my youngest daughter at the time. And it hit me so hard when I found out what happens. And then I obviously discovered what happens in the egg industry. So it was kind of two things at once. And my husband was, he wasn't even vegetarian at the time. He was still a big, big carnivore, probably one of the biggest that I've ever met. And I thought he's going to absolutely kill me when I tell him that I want to go vegan because he didn't really understand, even why I was a vegetarian. Very respectful, but he had no idea himself. And I said, look, please don't kill me. Just watch this video. And it was a speech that I saw, and it only had a very, very small clip of a cow at the end. And it was just an instant thing for him. And he said, look, I'm going to do it with you, and we'll do it as a family. So, I mean, I nearly fell off my chair. I was so shocked that he said that he was going to do it, and but it really made things easier because we journeyed together as a family.
Do you remember what video it was that you saw?
I do. Do you know James Aspie, the animal rights activist?
Is he the one from Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was called "This Speech Is Your Biggest Wake-Up Call," and I'd actually seen a picture which had made me click on the link to the speech. It was just a picture of a calf being taken from their mother, and I'd never even thought about it. I look back now and feel so stupid with what happens in the dairy industry and thinking that, cows just make milk. And, after being pregnant myself, I obviously know that isn't the case. But they keep it so well covered that they never get anyone questioning it. So when I saw this calf, I was like, what's going on? I clicked on the picture and it said they were being taken from their mother, and I couldn't understand why. Went onto the link, watched the whole video, and I was just horrified. It was so upsetting to me.
Yeah, I also went through something similar. So, I'd been vegetarian all my life. And then
Right.
about 6 years ago, I also saw a video on the dairy industry, a video called Dairy is Scary on YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that one too.
I have. It's a really, really powerful short video.
Yeah, and so that I guess started my own journey, and I think also being a dad from the other side, you also feel the same thing actually. Like all these years you've been contributing to that industry that you suddenly don't feel very comfortable with.
It's a really, really upsetting moment, I think. And the dairy side of things for me, I think, hit me more than any of it, to be honest.
What was your creative process to create Vivi?
There were a few things kind of going on in my head at the time. I wanted to obviously get something out there for children, and I also felt like this deep longing to give back to animals and to kind of make up for all the years that I was contributing to something, and it kind of became a bit of a dual mission for me. I wanted to do something and put something positive out there in the world, also provide, literature for children, because there just wasn't anything at the time, and there really isn't anything out there to empower children and to really show them that they are superheroes by, living a vegan lifestyle. So it kind of became a real passion project really quickly for me.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about the character a little bit and any other characters that you have and also the books that you've created actually?
Yeah, sure. So my main character is loosely based on my eldest daughter, because I think for me, I felt like most superheroes are male, and we don't often see, apart from like Wonder Woman, we don't often see, these kind of protagonist superheroes as female. And I also wanted to show that, you don't have to be this kind of big, strong, bulky character to be very, very strong. And my eldest daughter is a real empath. She's nearly 10. She's very, very compassionate, and she's very distressed by animal cruelty, but her voice is so strong and powerful. And she's turned her best friend vegan. All of her friends, are learning from her and respecting her. And I could see very quickly how powerful children are, especially when they're allowed to have their opinion and their voice. So Vivi is based on my eldest daughter, and of course, little Lily is born and is loosely based on my youngest as well. And they are complete polar opposites. They are completely different characters. And I really wanted to show that in the books. And obviously, Lily's character doesn't really come until the third book, because she's obviously little in the first ones. But then Vivi becomes best friends with a little boy called Pax. And I actually ran a competition with my parents and my followers to name that character. And people came up with some really, really cool names. And I settled on Pax because it actually means peace. And he is our planet protector. So he has his own cool powers. And I've got big ideas for where they can go, like the three of them. And I wanted to show kids that they're powerful on their own with their own choices. But when they work together with friends, they can do even more amazing things.
Yeah, you've created an amazing set of books. And yeah, thank you for my copy that arrived this week. So yeah,
You're
I
welcome.
read that. And as you know, I've shown it to some kids who had some great feedback on it and makes them think. I think that's the main thing that you want these kids to have a conversation about it with their family, with their friends. With your eldest daughter, how does she go about speaking to her friends about it? And you said her best friend had converted to be a vegan as well.
I think it's hard for children because, I mean, we know as adults, people can get quite defensive if you talk about it. Even if they ask the questions and they bring it up, people can react quite strongly to it. And I wanted to show that within the books as well, that one of Vivi's superpowers is the fact that she can spark compassion in other people and, reflect the truth back on them. And how people respond to that is going to be different with different people, but ultimately what they then do with that information is down to them. But with children, I think they get away with saying a lot more with their peers and at school, and they're probably a lot more blunt than adults. We'll probably try and sugarcoat things and kind of go around the houses. But I think because my girls are really well loved at school, they're really, really lovely children, and their peers are very respectful. She would just kind of open up a conversation, or maybe a child will ask her a question. And I mean, in fact, we had a situation the other day. They went on a school trip and there were pigs in the fields, and some of the kids started shouting bacon and laughing. And she did get upset, and we had a conversation about that. And I said, we kind of need to be really resilient in these situations and kind of give a good comeback. So rather than getting upset, which is hard, but as a result of that, one of the children asked her why she was upset. And she said, because it's not funny that they're going to be turned into bacon. And he said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, they're going to be killed for food. And he was completely baffled. He'd never even heard that. He wasn't even aware that that is what he was eating. And as a result, she then had this conversation with him. And it could have been the first time he'd even made that connection. So she'll have her moments of getting upset like that. And then she'll have these strong moments at school when she will just advocate and speak to her friends about things and say, well, I don't agree with that. And I think it's cruel. And they'll just obviously be trying to put all of these pieces together because they're only taking the views of their parents and their families. And it's quite hard for these other children when they're coming against my children who do know the truth, and they will speak the truth, especially when they're asked. So it's hard for them to navigate. I get that. And we're trying to make them as resilient as possible and give them the kind of knowledge so they can educate their friends, not in a judgmental way, but just to kind of be that compassionate role model, I suppose.
Yeah, I think also each school obviously have different policies, but I spoke to a parent the other day and their child, you know, had to have this lanyard on to say what dietary preference, and, you know, walking around the cafeteria with this. And then I think she was saying that the child kind of feels a bit excluded when they're like that, and it's not that inclusive.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of important, because you want the child, you know, not have that feeling that they're limiting their choices in a way or being seen differently. Mm. Have you noticed that in any of the schools that you've been, when you've gone to especially talk about your book as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And my kids have had it. Even at our school, they get a little sticker that says vegan, like not every day, but especially if there's a different chef in and stuff. And I try and make a joke about it and say, you know, oh, that's because you're the coolest. And a lot of the kids like look at what they're eating and they want it anyway. And I try and make sure that their lunch boxes are super colourful and really nice looking. And most kids are really jealous. But we've got a long, long way to go in the school system. It is still so heavily geared towards animal exploitation, and every school trip involves a farm or, you know, the country show day. And we have constant situations coming up where the girls are, you know, basically discriminated against for being kind and living a compassionate lifestyle. And it is frustrating, and you do feel very protective over them, but it's been this way for such a long time that it's going to take a long, long time to kind of undo now. And that's why I feel it's so important to have, you know, books like mine and other people's out there to try and counteract the norm of exploiting animals. And when you go in and you speak to different children at events, a lot of them, even if they aren't vegan, they're so, you know, they're sitting there, their eyes wide, they're listening to the story. It's the first time they may have even put two and two together with the whole animals on the plate situation. And I tried really hard when I wrote the books to not go in too heavy. I'm not there to, you know, scare children or burden them. I just kind of want to put that little seed there and tell them the truth in the most child-friendly way, so they can, you know, just start making their own mind up about things and having those conversations with their families, which parents with they either shut them down or they'll be respectful and kind of help them with those topics. So it's a mixed bag, really.
Yeah, and you have done that really well. Like, you've been very subtle in the books. You've done very well to describe the empathy to be shown on animals as well, which I noticed in the books. Have you spoken to any schools that are predominantly, there are some schools now that are predominantly vegan, straight plant-based or vegetarian. Have you gone to speak to any of those schools yet?
Not yet, no. I mean, I know there are a few, aren't there? There are none near me, but as I say, we moved from London, kind of out of where probably everything is the most kind of forward-thinking, open-minded. And we're now kind of, we're 50 years behind, back in Suffolk, living in the countryside. But I would love to, yeah, to speak to some more schools who are more open-minded.
Yes, my daughters go to a vegetarian school, but I know there's also schools that have been created that are vegan or plant-based menus as well. But yeah, I'll dig those up and I'll send them across to you. And yeah, if you can make it over, I think it'll be good to see what the reaction is with the kids. With most of the kids probably being vegetarian or vegan, perhaps as well. And in the
Yeah.
same way that, I don't know if you've been following Mayor Eric Adams in New York, he was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes
Right.
and then he overcome it with a plant-based diet, but he's also changed hospitals and schools to have default menus of plant-based food.
Wow.
And that's made a massive difference, in terms of the health outcomes and education, which is what you're in. It's crucial to get the understanding for children at an early stage of their life. So yeah, take a look at the work that he's done in New York. It's quite amazing.
That sounds fantastic. I know I hadn't heard, but that's really good news.
Yeah. So when you have, I guess, the parents coming up to you having sort of read these concepts, what's their reaction? I mean, I think for a parent who maybe hasn't read it to one who has read it, I guess there's probably a fear factor that their child's gonna come in and demand that they go vegan overnight what's kind of the reaction with the parents, I guess?
It can be a mixed bag. Most of the people who buy my books will either be, plant-based, vegetarian, vegan, or just open-minded, or buying it for family and friends with someone they know.
Okay.
But a lot of the time, even at my book launches, I had people come who actually work in slaughterhouses, and they are the truck drivers of the animals that they're taking there. Because a lot of people I know here are farmers, or they're kind of in that farming community. I have friends who are chicken farmers, and it's all a bit of the elephant in the
Yeah.
room with me because their kids are in my kids' class. We're friends. They're kind of third generation farmers. It's a really unlikely friendship, but I always try and just be really loving, and I understand that they're only doing what's been in their family for years, and they've even said to me before, we'd never even questioned it until we met you. It was just completely normal, and they're good people. And I understand that it's just not something that they would have ever thought about here. So their kids are in my kids' classes, and their kids have read my books, and one of them has even asked to go vegetarian herself, which you can imagine
Yeah.
how that went down. But I think as long as I keep being loving and just be myself and just show that, I'm not here to demonize farmers, and I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to say, let's farm other things. Let's not farm sentient beings. Let's farm fruits and vegetables and change the way things have always been done, and just offer that alternative, that compassion here, and that we don't have to hurt living beings to all live a healthy life and to protect our planet. And kids get it. Like, as you say, you shared my books with your neighbors, and their reactions were just so beautiful. It was so touching. And seeing them understand the messages that I've got in there, which, as I said to you, I think can go over some adults' heads, it just shows that kids, they get it. And it's not until their families and friends and society, we all kind of squash that compassion that children are born with, and then it just becomes, normal to eat animals again and to view certain animals as pets and other animals as food. And it's trying to get in there at an early stage and provide this kind of alternative to these farm books and zoo books, and hope that it sticks with some kids, really.
Yeah. So just going back to, you mentioned there the slaughterhouse workers. So was that somebody also like a parent from your daughter's school? And obviously, this is a really interesting topic that people don't always talk about, like how animal farming affects the workers in those places, like especially mentally, and the issues they have going forward also at home. And some of these people who work in these places are quite vulnerable anyway. So I'd be interested to know about those people, and did they read the book? Were they naturally interested? What was the story with them?
So I think he'd been dragged along with his wife, who was a friend of my parents. He read the book. They both did. His wife actually cried because it was only my first book at the time. And obviously, that is kind of like my strongest vegan message in that one, with Mrs. Rufflefeather and the kind of like
Yeah.
the word that I use, it was kind of the strongest there. And he did come up, and obviously it was my launch party, so he wasn't going to go too harsh. He said that he disagreed with a few things, and I think it was coming probably from a place of he'd never actually thought about it like that. And as you say, a lot of people end up in these jobs and they're very desensitized and they're just doing their job and what they're doing. And I know a few slaughterhouse workers, well, ex-slaughterhouse workers now, who are like the biggest animal rights activists that I know. And they actually had that kind of light bulb moment on the kill floor. And it's quite amazing to think that you can desensitize yourself and switch off for such a long time, a bit like we've all done, even though we weren't slaughterhouse workers, but we were still eating animals or consuming animal products without even thinking about it and living kind of in this like zombie state for such a long time. But this man, you could see he was definitely thinking about it all. And he, although he was saying a few things that could come across a bit defensive, he got it. And he did say the book was very powerful. He said, it may not change my mind, but it was very powerful. And I think him seeing his wife very emotional reading it and talking about their grandchild, it definitely planted a seed.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want. Was that a person still working in the industry or they had left?
Yeah. No, they were still working.
Yeah. Interesting. I think that's all you can do, right? If they disagree, at least you planted something that they can go away and think about and maybe do their own research into it, as long as it starts the ball rolling with their thought process.
Yeah, I agree.
What are your thoughts, I guess, on raising kids as vegan as well? It's something that I was a bit late to convert my kids, but even though they're mostly plant-based now, but from get-go, I guess, what are your thoughts on that?
I think if I could go back and have my children vegan from, you know, pregnancy, I would 100% do that. You know, knowing what I know now and researching for countless hours and watching the documentaries, I know it's the healthier option as well. And it's also the kindest, it's the kindest lifestyle choice. So yeah, if I could go back, I would. But obviously my girls were 1 and 3. And I feel like we've all had these myths for so long about how dangerous it is to be vegan and, you know, the headlines that a vegan child died and blah, 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 and all of the propaganda out there. We've all just kind of taken that in subconsciously and not actually looked into, well, what were they eating? Like, what was that child being fed? You know, you could be a very, very unhealthy vegan and just eat Oreos and Ben and Jerry's ice cream all the time. And of course, you're going to be malnourished and not getting the right things. But yeah, I think raising children plant-based and following a vegan lifestyle is the most natural thing in the world. Because first of all, children don't want to hurt animals. They wouldn't hurt an animal if you gave them a choice. And it comes down to that famous saying, doesn't it? Of if you put a baby in a cot with, well, any little baby animal or an apple, they're going to play with the baby animal and try and eat the apple. They're not going to try and rip that little baby animal apart and eat that baby animal. So the fact that children are so compassionate and kind to animals, and the fact that they're just trusting us with their nutrition and all of the right things, really, it is on us parents. It's our responsibility to then respect that and do that in the right way. But it's all conditioning, and I genuinely feel it's no one's fault that we haven't done it sooner or we're not doing it, because I've got friends of mine who know that it's the healthier option for their kids, but they just feel so overwhelmed juggling work life, and they don't like cooking, and they struggle, so they're just like, oh, I know that's what I should be doing, but I can't. And I get it. I get there's a different reason for different people. And I try and say to anyone, you know, my inbox is always open. Like, let me know, I'll help you. And I can just help you do some easy meals and stuff. And I try and share what I'm giving my kids in their packed lunches or on my social media. Because if it's those kind of things that are stopping people doing it, like, don't let that be the reason, because it's so easy once you understand it. So I'm definitely an advocate for raising kids vegan from as early age as possible.
Yeah, me too. And other than your own book and you obviously helping anyone who wants to contact you, but where else would you recommend families in terms of resources look for if they want to find out more?
I would say like places like the Vegan Society, they've got some great resources on their website. And there's the Education Network, which my great friend Laura Chetner is the chair of the Education Network for the Vegan Society. And she's always there ready and willing to help anybody with any problems, you know, at school and just in general, like families. And there are loads of kind of letter templates to help parents. So I would definitely say start there. And there are some fantastic recipe books. I'm not really a recipe book follower. I kind of just make things up and veganize my favorite meals. And no one seems to be complaining in my house. So far, so good. But there are so many recipe books and resources online. It's really easy now to get help.
Yeah, for sure. So, and are you creating another book at the moment or thinking of your next book?
I do have lots of other ideas constantly whizzing around my head for things in the future and just kind of general marketing for my own stuff at the moment with my books, because it's only ever been me. I haven't got a publisher. I've done it all myself. So that's kind of very time consuming on its own.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show. I wish you luck with getting obviously your books to as many places and kids and also schools as possible.
Brilliant. Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on as well. It's been great to talk.
And see you again soon then.
Brilliant. Bye.
Cheers. Bye. Bye.